Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Matt McCammon, the General Manager, Integrated Payments for TSYS. Matt, thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
So I'm excited to talk to you about a topic that is extremely interesting, I think professionally, certainly personally, we can all relate to it, and that is healthcare and the intersection of healthcare, payments, and now practice management software, which increasingly has the opportunity to bring payments inside of that software to better serve the end user, the consumer, and also the attending physician and obviously physicians who are members of that practice. So let's get into it. As I mentioned, there's been a tremendous amount of change in the healthcare industry. It seems to be developing day by day. What are some of the macro trends, Matt, that you're seeing that point us to a change in healthcare payments?
Well, what I'll do first is provide some context into the scale of healthcare, and then I'll mention a couple of trends, one being economic and the second being technology. Healthcare, as you know, is a $4 trillion market. That's about 18% of the United States GDP. And in 2019, consumer payments is expected to be about $600 billion. And so the more physicians that I speak with around the country, I continue to hear two themes, two questions that they're asking. Number one is, how do I provide quality health care to my patients? And number two, how do I get paid for my services? Back to that $600 billion, they need to make sure and want to make sure that that $600 billion turns into revenue and not bad debt. So that's kind of the platform from which we're operating. And if I think now about the trends economically, the United States consumer, the American consumers have now reached record debt levels, about $13 trillion. There's about $1 trillion of auto loan debt, which is more than we've ever had, $1 trillion plus in student loan debt. That's more than we've had. And then in parallel with that, wage inflation hasn't been meeting target expectations. So you have a fairly tumultuous economic environment, and in parallel with that, there's been significant changes within the healthcare economic landscape that tie in. In years past, physicians have largely relied upon the payers or insurance companies to pay the bill. And more Americans, to the tune of now 75 million, have turned to high-deductible healthcare plans. So roughly one in four Americans are on a high-deductible healthcare plan. And so the providers have to rely more on those consumers to pay the bill. And their bill for those folks on high deductible healthcare plans is about $1,500. So the increasing amount of pressure and burden on those American consumers that have that high debt load to now pay increasing amounts of money towards healthcare. That's the economic trend. On the technology side, in the 2000s, the Bush administration wanted to motivate more and more physicians' practices to electronify health records. And so they created incentive programs to move providers towards technology solutions. And then in 2010s, the Obama administration piggybacked upon that and said, great, you have this new technology capability. We're going to implement incentive programs for you to use that technology. And so to your point earlier, roughly about 40% of practices about 2012 were using EHR, electronic health record systems, and now that's 70%. So there's big macro things going on economically, and there's big macro things going on technologically, all of which intersect around healthcare.
So let's continue that thought and talk about the intersection of these macroeconomic trends, shifting more of the responsibility to the consumer, practices that now have technology that can enable a more efficient process to manage the payment of those high deductibles that need to be satisfied on behalf of those consumers. What is the workflow change that the intersection of that need and that technology create?
So I mentioned earlier the providers and physicians are asking themselves, how do I collect more from my patients for the services rendered? And as part of that, they're saying, how can my technology help? When I think about patient payments, I think about four different workflow buckets, if you will. The first is eligibility. So is the patient, does the patient have insurance? And if so, what are the terms of that insurance policy? The second component is estimation. How much will my patient be responsible for paying for this particular service? The third is, what is the capacity of that patient or the propensity to pay for that patient? What's the likelihood of their ability to pay? And then fourth is the actual payment. How do I collect funds from that payment? And the collection of payments is now kind of where we connect back to technology. I think of the practice management system, this new technology that so many practices are using, as kind of the central nervous system of the practice. And they want, they being the practices, want more and more business functions flowing through that practice management system or that central nervous system of their business. And in doing so, it does two different things. Number one, it enables better data integrity. If you have all the different data attributes related to your patient and your practice flowing through one technology hub, there's a greater propensity of that data being of quality. Number two, it creates incredible workflow efficiency. So I'll mention just briefly on the payment side, the old process, a provider or an office manager of a practice would take a transaction on a standalone credit card terminal. They would print out a receipt, get it signed, and then they'd go back into the patient ledger, into the practice management system, and key enter that transaction to reflect the patient has paid their portion of payment responsibility. The new process is, hey, I want to take a transaction on an integrated credit card terminal that is automatically going to post back to my patient ledger. So it's all about kind of moving to a more efficient process and leveraging the technology to enable your practice to do that.
Isn't there also this requirement to do that in real time? And I know that it sounds like a silly question perhaps, but when you talk about the eligibility, estimation, capacity to pay, and then payment, suppose this is a patient that requires a procedure that they first have to satisfy their deductible, and then there's only a percentage of that procedure that's covered under their insurance. They obviously need to have it done. Isn't there some requirement that practice management software be able to accommodate how that payment is made, perhaps even how credit might be extended, what kind of method of payment is provided for someone in that situation?
Yeah, absolutely. Providers are having to change their talk track from where it was a decade or two decades ago before, again, they relied heavily on the payer. And now they recognize that the consumer, the patient, is responsible for about 30 to 35% of the bill on average. So they're having to create new vehicles to collect patient payments. And that's going to change the talk track. Providers are asking more and more for payment upfront, for guarantees of payment in different capacities. And they're creating different vehicles to collect that payment. It could be you could go into your provider office and check in through a kiosk system, and that kiosk system may reflect an outstanding bill, and in order for you to proceed with the check-in, you may have to pay that outstanding bill as just one of multiple different vehicles. Other vehicles are creating payments plans and creating getting a card on file. So there's a number of different new talk tracks that are developing that are enabling practices to collect from those patients.
Interesting shift in those talk tracks, too. It requires almost a different level of training, because it's a conversation not about care and treatment. It's a conversation about how are you going to pay for what you need. It's quite different.
No question. I think practices in general are really having to accept or assume greater responsibility as business owners. Before, they had really the payers were providing the large portion of their outstanding collections, and now they're having to rely more on patients. So they have to be more savvy business owners in approaching the patient.
So what is the impact to these practice management software solutions? What have they had to do to accommodate now you know, this growing complexity of accommodating patients that are now assuming more responsibility for their own care or the payment of their own care.
Yeah, one of the interesting things that's going on in the marketplace, another trend we're seeing is that of consolidation. Thousands of independent practices are being acquired by hospital systems every year. And hospitals, there's a number of different drivers for that, one of which are hospitals are trying to gain efficiencies and buying power through scale. And so now it's gotten to the point that only one in three providers are operating independently, leaving the other two-thirds working for hospital systems. So why is that happening, and then what does that have to do with practice management systems? Why is it happening? I think, one, the economic drivers that I mentioned and getting the scale. But two, providers are looking at the regulatory environment with ICD-10, with HIPAA, with meaningful use, all these different challenges that they're faced with. They're saying, hey, can I sustain this as an independent operator, part one? Part two is, how do I have some work-life balance and some predictable income in my personal life? And so more and more providers are migrating towards that of the hospital system. So now, as you think about a large hospital system that has grown through acquisition, that hospital system may have three different practice management system or technology platforms that they're using. And where that becomes complex and really there's an opportunity is, how do you bridge those three disparate technology systems into a single payments platform for collecting payments? If you have three different policies and procedures for the three different technology platforms you're operating as a single hospital, that's going to create inefficiencies. And so to be able to have a singular payments process that you can train across disparate technology platforms becomes a very powerful tool as you grow.
So we've talked a lot about this concept from the provider's point of view. Let's talk about it from the patient's point of view. And I'm curious whether you have a point of view on whether consumers carve out their financial relationship with their healthcare provider and expect something different, maybe even not quite as digital or mobile, or whether their expectations are, in fact, it's easy enough for me to do everything else I need to do using my mobile device, any payment method I want, so I expect that to carry through to my healthcare provider.
In an increasing number of interactions that I have in this industry, there is an expectation from the patients that healthcare operates similarly to other industries, to even that of retail. So a patient is now expecting a great seamless interaction with their healthcare provider just like they would a retailer. So how does that translate into payments? They expect the opportunity and the ability to be able to log online and to view their medical records, and more practices are implementing patient portals that empower patients to do that. And while they're looking at their medical records, they fully expect to be able to pay their outstanding balance online. They expect to be able to pay via phone. They expect to be able to, of course, pay via face, you know, pay face-to-face while they're in the practice. And they expect to have recurring payment plans. As I mentioned earlier, right now Americans, the average American may not have $1,000 to cover the expense of a service. And so they expect that healthcare provider to be able to accept a recurring, to be able to, you know, enable a recurring payment plan to take a card, to capture it in the system, and rather than charge $1,000 up front, to charge $100 over the next 10 months. So there's absolutely a bias of the American consumer toward healthcare to make it look no different than that of retail, which is putting a tremendous burden on providers to change the way they practice and to change the way they interact with consumers.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think of my own interactions with my healthcare provider, and you know, I've seen the evolution of technology affect how they interact with me. I mean, it's great. I mean, I can log on. I can see my test results before my doctor even calls me, and everything can be done online. Healthcare is just as omni-channel as anything else that we do.
Absolutely.
Matt, it's been a fascinating conversation. I really enjoyed getting your insights on what is clearly a very important and humongous area of our economy that is undergoing a tremendous amount of change with respect to bringing payments inside of it, and that's healthcare. Thanks again for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.